Okay, we are on Ayin Ches, Amud Aleph. And we are, see where Tosfos on the left side? Tosfos Ba'alma. 1, 2, 3, 4, right, 4,000 on the line, so go to the right. Amar Rav Barachana, so we just started this this last couple lines yesterday, so let's start from there. So Amar Rav Barachana, Amar Yochanan, Mitzri, Sheni, Shenasa, Mitzri, Rishona, Bena Shlishi Havai. Right, so we had just finished mentioning that you go halacha achar psulon, right? That when you're dealing with two individuals who are together and they have a child, so whatever they're like, the kind of like the lowest common denominator in terms of, you call it highest, but lowest in terms of like level of psul. So we go based on sort of the lowest common denominator. But here now we just said that Yochanan said that if a mitzri sheni marries a mitzvah rishona, and so the child is called a bena shlishi. So what do you see? So you don't go by the farthest away. You go, it sounds like, you go by the father. Right? So mitzvah of Yosef. Yosef brings a contradiction. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yecholin mamzerim li taher. And there's a possible way for a mamzer to become no longer a mamzer. How's that? Or I guess that they're, that the mamzer's children, etc., could somehow get out of this chain of being mamzerim, because otherwise a mamzer always, you know, leads to another mamzer. So what would you do? Ketzad, mamzer nasa shifcha. So the mamzer marries a shifcha. Shifcha is just a female eved, right? Havlad eved. So the child then becomes not a mamzer. Their child actually becomes an eved. Shicharo, if you free him, nimsa ben chorin, he becomes a free person, right? So the way to get rid of being mamzeris from your genealogy is if once the mamzer marries a shifcha, the child becomes an eved, right? Which again, shifts his status, but once he's an eved, now he has to be free to be a regular Jew. So, but in the process, the mamzeris gets lost. Okay. So what do you see? Amal bar sadi dasha din alei. So what do you see? That we don't go necessarily always by the man. The genealogy of the child is not necessarily go according to the father. Even in this scenario, it follows the mother, and she's the one who kind of lets him off the hook. So says the Gemara. No, shani hasam da amakra ha'isha viladeha tiyela adam ne'ah. No, maybe the case of mamzer and shifcha is unique, because in that case, the pasuk says the woman and the, this is when a, right, an eved ivri, you know, goes to, you know, a Jew goes to work for another Jew, he becomes an eved, and he gets married. He's able to, when he's an eved, he's allowed to marry a shifcha. But when he does, the woman and the children do not remain his, you know, property. They're not married to him. They remain the property of the master. So the point being, since the pasuk there says that yishav yiladet tiyel adunah, they're not. Part of his relationship, but they're really related to the master. So maybe that's why in that scenario, it's not really about Basar Dida. It's like that. It's not like they follow her lineage. It's that the rule is that any child born to a shifcha continues to belong to the person who owns the slaves.
Is it similar to the lowest common denominator, shifcha and mamzer?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good point. Like the halach achar psulon point. Is it eved less than a mamzer? In theory, the answer is yes, in the sense that an eved, well, not an eved ivri. Eved ivri keeps mitzvahs the same as an eved kanani. You know, keeps mitzvahs less than only keeps the mitzvahs that women keep and things like that. But an eved ivri does not. An eved ivri keeps all the mitzvahs. So that's a good question. Yes, I'm not sure. It's a good point. Yeah, I'm not sure. That doesn't document it. Yeah, it's a good question. Let's keep that question in the back of our minds. It's a good question.
The shifcha is not a Jewish shifcha.
She's a shifcha kananis. Right, she's a shifcha kananis. So you're saying in that case, the child has to be free to become a full Jew, in which case, then it's correct. Yeah, it's true. Right, because he is an Eved Ivri, but the child becomes an Eved Kanani.
Right, so he's a mamzer. He marries a shifcha kanani. Right, they have a.
And that child is an eved kanani, in which case he is lower, I guess, than a mamzer in the sense his kedushas Yisrael is lower. He has keep your mitzvahs. Then the answer would be yes. Yeah, good. All right, that's a good point. Yes. So then, in which case it would be true? Yes. Very good. Right. So it would follow the same logic, I guess. Good. So the bottom line is we don't have a so fine. So now we answer back. So maybe there's not a kasha because again that case is just unique. Hayishal v'adiyatia. It's a gzeir a kasha specifically when it comes to shivcha.
Okay.
Shivcha and evit. So basically, Rava tries to attack. I'm Rav Yehuda, and this is the line we saw before. In Yamin ger mitzri hayali. Hayali Chavar Mitamidi Rabbi Akiva. So he mentions this individual name was Minyamin, who was a Ger Mitzri. And he was one of my Chavarim. He was learning me in the Beis Medrash with the students of Rabbi Akiva. And he said as follows, Ani Mitzri Rishon, Vinasasi Mitzri Rishona. I'm a first generation Mitzri, and I married a first generation Mitzri convert also. Okay. Asila Bni Mitzri Shnia, right? So my child's going to be a second generation Mitzri. And I'll make sure that he, you know, the shadchan, I'll make sure that she knows only mitzri shniya for him, right, when he's going to get married. Kedei sheyehei ben v'ni roi levol bakal. So that my grandson should be a mitzri shlishi and then be ready to go levol bakal. Okay. V'yisagadai dach basrei didei shadin alein. If you say that we follow the father, right, I feel like we should anami. Why did Minyamin, who clearly understands his scenario, right? If he's a Tamei Chacham, who's also a Ger Mitzri, so he knows very well who he is and how it works. So if he's describing what needs to happen, he could have said, what does he need to specify that his son has to marry a Mitzri Sheni? He doesn't have to, right? His son can marry a Mitzri Rishona also. He's a Mitzri Sheni, she's a Mitzri Rishona. That would be fine. And then if we go according to the father, then the child would be a Mitzri Shlishis anyways. So says Gemara, now Ha Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Letana Tani Rishona. Yeah, it's true. When Rabbi Yochanan told him to teach this rule, he said, Lav Dafka. It doesn't have to be only the Mitzri Rishonia. It could even be Mitzri Rishona. Fine. So you're right. Rabbi Yochanan noticed that contradiction also, and he amended the Brisa for that exact reason. Okay. So still no kasha. So try again. So Ki Asa Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yochanan. So Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He told a different. Approach in Rav Yochanan. So he says as follows. Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzri Rishona. A second generation Mitzri who marries a first generation Mitzris. Okay? Convert. Bina Sheni Havai. So he's passing the opposite direction. That now we say it does go by the sort Halacha Harpsulan in the furthest away, and that the child remains only a Sheni. Only goes as far as the earliest generation can go. So Benar Sheni Havai. So Amba Basri Imei Shadin Leif. So now it sounds like you go by the mother always. So Rabbi is bothered by that. Amle Abaye, how can that be? How can it be Yochanan and Paskins in this case that the Mitzri Sheni who marries the Mitzri Shishona, the child's only a Sheni, and you're going basically according to the mother's. The mother's going to have the mother. So I'm going to buy Ella Hada. I'm Rav Yochanan. What about Rav Yochanan said in the following case? Hifrish chatas mi'uberes. So what's the case? We're talking about a person who needs to bring a korban chatas, and they separate an animal to be brought as a korban chatas, and it turns out that animal was pregnant. Okay, so what? So we'll see what. So we'll see. So what? So Yochanan said hifrish chatas mi'uberes. Let's say you separate an animal. And that animal happened to be pregnant. So anything you're mafresh, an animal, to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, so that animal becomes, hektish. And now it can't be used for any other purpose, right? You can't, if you use it for a personal purpose, that becomes mi'ila. So that's forbidden. So you put the chatas aside, ready to bring it as a korban, but it turns out that it is pregnant. V'yalda. And then it has a baby. So what do you do with this baby, right? So Ratz a miskaper, but Ratz a miskaper bivlada. So if Yochanan paskind, then in that case you can choose. Either you can use the original mother as the korban chatas, or you can use the baby as the korban chatas. Why? Because after all, when you put the mother aside, the baby was already, the fetus was already there. So it's ki'ilu you put them both aside. So the Gemara as follows: Iyam Rabbi Shlomo Ubar Lav Yerech Imohu. This is so the Gemara is a machlokas throughout Shas, the status of the a fetus inside the mother's womb, and this is true by humans, and it's true even by animals. So do we assume that Ubar Yerech Imo, that the Ubar, the fetus, is like an extension of the mother's body, right? In which case, it's not considered a separate entity, but it's considered like part of the mother. We'll see Nafkamin in a second. Or do you hold, no, Ubar Lav Yerech Imo, the baby is not considered part of the mother's body, in which case, it is considered like a separate entity, right? So we had these conversations way before the world had the conversation, right? What's the status of the fetus? So, okay, so Iyam Rabbi Shlomo Ubar Lav Yerech Imo. If you're going to tell me that we hold, and it works out nice, that we hold Ubar Lav Yerech Imo, that the Ubar is a separate entity from the mother. Havalei Kemafrish Shtechatos Lachrayis. So what's the scenario? What did you do? It's Ki'ilu, you went ahead, and when it was time to separate, you said, after being a Korban Chatas, I did something, that I was Chayav Karis for, and I did it B'Shogeg, and now I have to say, bring a Korban Chatas. You know what I'll do? I'll put aside two Korban Chatas, two animals to be a Korban Chatas, but understanding very well that only one of them is going to be brought. Look what Rashi says. Look at Rashi. Iyamash Bishlama Ubar Lav Yerech Imahu. It's on the right side, right where we are. And that's why, if you'd like, you could even just use the baby as the kapara. Because at the time when you separated, it was considered its own behema. And that's like a person who separates two chatos. What does that mean? Right? That you put two aside, knowing that one might get lost, they run away, whatever. So you put two aside on purpose, right? To say, look, I'm just going to bring one of these, but just in case, I'll put two aside just in case the other one, so I can choose. Fine. Back in the Gemara. V'am Rav Oshia, Hifrish Techatos Lachrayis, Miskapra Be'achas Man, Vashniya Tira. Right, and what do you do in that scenario? Well, you now put aside two animals, right? So one of them you bring as the korban chatas, the other one you already separated as a korban. So now you can't just put the yoke back on its neck and start playing with it again. It was separated as a to be brought in the Beis Hamikdash. So now it just is it grazes. It goes to graze and it grazes around until when? Basically until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum and it no longer would naturally, by itself, it bumps into something and gets a mum, so then it'll lose its status. But you can't make use of it, you can't use it for any work, etc., until it develops a mum, so you just let it roam, basically. Look at Rashi says, Vashniya tira, v'chirminan chatas shekapru ba'aleha lemisa azla. Right, we're going to talk about, some say you have to actually kill it, we're going to see in a second. Kagon shehifrish chatas ve'avda. Right, like case where you separate a chatas and it gets lost, and then it turns out you have to. There's a scenario which we're going to mention in a second where a person separated a chatas and they never got a chance to bring it. So the halacha in some cases is tira, you can let it just wander, and the halacha in other cases is no, you can't let it just wander around and they get a move and use it again. You have to actually, it has to be killed. So what are the two scenarios? So according to this approach, we hold Ubar Lav Yerech Imo. It's as if you put the two animals aside, Vachrayas, meaning just in case one would get lost. And then once you bring one of them, the other one you just let roam. So what was the scenario where a person has to actually kill the animal? That would be if you actually separated one animal and that one animal then got lost. And you're like, oh shoot, I don't know what to do. And you decide separately, now, okay, I'll take another animal. And you bring that one, and then you find the first one, so then the first one has to be killed. I can't just be roaming around to graze. Fine. So that all works out fine and dandy. Eli Amris Ubar Lav Ubar Yerech Imahu. Right? But if you hold that, so that this all works if somebody holds Ubar Lav Yerech Imahu. Now I understand, Rav Yochanan's psak, that you separated an animal that was a muberes, you can choose one or the other one, and the other one will go grace. However, ubar yerech imahu. If you hold that an ubar is like an extension of the mother, right? Havalei vlad chatas Uvlad chatas lamisa azel, right? In which case, the baby is part of that original animal that was originally separated to be brought as a korban. And now that animal is not being brought as a korban. So what do you do? So you have to kill it. You have to kill it. What's the point? The point is, Rav Yochanan seems to be inconsistent. Why? Because if you hold, if Rav Yochanan said before, right, that we go basar ima, right, we go basar the mother, what's the meaning? That the status of the child that is born follows the status of the mother. What is that? Again, at this point, the Gemara assumes means, must you hold ubar, right, ubar yerech ima, you know, ubar yerech imo. So if he holds ubar yerech imo, that's fine, except the problem is that in this case of the hifrish chatas miuberes, Rabbi Yochanan seems to hold ubar lav yerech imo, right? Because in that case he held that if you separate, meaning, why does he hold that the two cases? Case number one was mitzvah sheni, mitzvah rishona marries a mitzvah sheni, right? So the mother is the rishona, right? In that case, what do we say? The baby's only a sheni, right? Why? Because we follow the status of the mother. Implication being ubar yerech imo, right? The child is an extension of the mother. That's why it doesn't go any. We don't talk about the father's status. We talk about the mother's status. We could argue that maybe that's not the svara, but that's the svara that's Gemara assuming. So that's on the one hand. Who passing that way? Rabbi Yochanan passing that way. Right? That the child follows the status of the mother because ubar yerech imo. However, when it came to the case of the separating the animal, which could be brought as a korban, and it turns out that it's pregnant, what does Rabbi Yochanan hold? That baby does not have to be killed. Right? You can just choose which one you want to use, and the other one can graze. What do we see? The Yochanan in this case holds Uber Laver Achimo. So basically, the point is we have a seems to be an inconsistency within Rav Yochanan. Fine. So when they raised the issue, Ishtik, he was quiet. Now I didn't know what to say. So Amalai, so Abaya then tried to answer himself. He said, "Well, Dilma Shani Hasa Dichsiv Asher Yivaldu Hakasuv Tla Beleda." Right, so maybe that's true. Maybe the Mitzri is unique because the language was Dor Shlishi Asher Yivaldu, right? Yeah, is that correct? No. Dor Shlishi, yeah. So by the Mitzri. So there it says Yivaldu, so you see it's dependent specifically on Leda. So what do you see? So it's not because it's not that we hold it Ubar Yerech Imo, right? She's the child is an extension of the mother's body. Is that no? It's that the halacha depends on being born, right? It's the next generation that's born. So children are born from their mother. So that's why we go based on the mother, because it's a Sheh Yivaldu. That's all. And it doesn't. It's not about the more fundamental issue of Uber Yerech Imo or not, and therefore, you know, it's not a contradiction. It's just two totally different rationales. Fine. So Amalei Karkafna. So they said back to Abaya, "What do you mean? Yours Karkafna is like a nickname for calling someone super smart. Karkafna, or you're super chashuv person." Rashi says, "Adam chashuv." Karkafna Chazise LeReishach Reishcha Beni Amudei Ki Amr Rav Yochanan LaHashmaitza. Don't tell me you think Shani, you know, maybe Shani Hasam. You were there. You were there. You saw him say the svara. So, meaning, like, have a little respect for yourself. Like, you know what you're talking about. You saw it. I saw you were there. You were in the shir. So you know exactly what he said. Time adiksiv. Fine. So you heard it, and you're really right. Fine. So that's like just kind of like Makab Apatish that he's really right. Fine. So says the Gemara, time adiksiv asher yivaldu. Fine. So now that we've cleared that up, and it's not a contradiction of Yochanan, so now let's just explain. So it sounds like the reason is because the pasuk says Asher Yivaldu. It's the children that are born, right, for the next generation. Haba Amma, Basar Avu Shadirin Lay. But otherwise, it sounds like we go according to the father. Meaning that typically sounds like, you know, what you seem to be saying is that in this scenario we go according to the status of the mother, but otherwise we go according to the status of the father. If your there's a cousin of Asher Yivaldu is true, that's like the chiddush. That's the shiny hasam. But if that's true, then the normal case is you follow the father. Elaha de Amarava Nachos Muberes Shiniskaira Bena Ein Sarach Tvila. So Rava Paskin, that what happens if you have a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant at the time of her conversion? So what happens in that scenario? So the child does not need Tvila B'mikvah. Why? Because he went in the mikvah. He went in the mikvah. It just was in utero. He went in the mikvah. Okay. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Am I in tzarech tefillah? Right? If this is true, that we really go according to the status of the father, right? In general, the mother's status does not determine the status of the child. So the fact that the mother went in the mikvah, so that's not going to help anything. The child never, the status is determined by the man. And presuming the point is that with the man, when they were together originally, she was not Jewish and he was not Jewish. And so the child's not Jewish. So the child shouldn't eat tefillah. And so the question, well, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, no, the baby went to the mikvah himself. It's not that the mother went to the mikvah and therefore he follows the status of the mother. No. It's at the, sorry, I said it a little bit wrong the first time. The Gemara's Havamina is that what happened was she went to the mikvah and the status of the child follows the status of the mother. The baby didn't go to the mikvah, but the mother did, right, before he was born. So by the time the baby's born, mother has gone to the mikvah. He says, you're going to tell me, no, that's not what happened. What happened was the baby actually went to the mikvah, right? V'chitem v'yishim d'Rabbi Yitzchak. No, d'am Rabbi Yitzchak, d'var Torah, rubo makbid alav chotzitz. Rubo she'ina makbid alav eno chotzitz. When we go to the mikvah, or when women go to the mikvah today, so we're like super makbid, they shouldn't have any chatzitzos, nothing coming between their skin and the mikvah. We're makbid for all the deos. But the truth is, that me'ikir adin, right, d'var Torah, v'midar reisa, the halacha is as follows. Even if something is covering most of your body, right, if it's covering most of your body and you're makbid on it, you don't want it there, so then it's a chatzitza, right? But even if it's covering most of your body and you're not makbid, you don't care that it's there, it doesn't matter to you, so then ain't no chatzitza, it's not a chatzitza. Meaning, so who's the individual here who has a chatzitza between himself and the water of the mikvah? The baby. Who's the chatzitza? His mother, right? So he's certainly not makbid, right? Right, he certainly doesn't care. He wants it there. Otherwise, he's not going to be alive. So he's very happy to have his mother there. He's certainly not makbid, in which case, the child should be... it's not that he's yerech imo, or sorry, it's not that he goes according to the status of his mother. He went in the mikvah too, right? So if you want to argue that, amberef kana lo shanu elo rubo, ava kulo chotetz. Yeah, that's true when you have a cast on, you have whatever, everything fine. But if your whole body is covered up, you're wearing a winter coat when you jump in the mikvah, that's not gonna make any sense. More than a winter coat, you're wearing a snowsuit, whatever. So you're totally covered, that's not gonna work. So Gemara says, no, that's different. Shiny Uber, dahan rebisa. The Uber is unique, and you're gonna say that the Uber is different. Why? Because this is how he's gonna live. This is how he's gonna develop. It's only because this is how he grows, right? Because he has the mother there. So you argue that's why this case is different, and that's why not Akasha, in this case, because again, because that's the way the child's gonna be able to survive, and never, that's why it's not considered a chatzitza.
But not because we say that the fetus is left,
that
the baby's like the mother.
Follows the mother. Has nothing to do with that. Exactly. Has nothing to do with that. Good. Fine. So ki Ravina, Amr Yochanan, Halach achar zachar amatam yeder. Okay, so fine. So we'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow from this one.